Parsha Parshas Kisi, so it's jam-packed. Now it's getting jam-packed. And I saw this past week in the Be'era Parsha, the English version, actually didn't see it in the Hebrew version, the opening piece was that conveyed a tremendous, tremendous message. This week's Parsha, after the unfortunate Chet HaEgel, so when the Jewish people are doing tshuva, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is basically, Kadosh Baruch Hu accepts his tshuva, and the pasuk tells us, and Kodesh Baruch Hu will provide compassion and favor and mercy to the ones that he decides. So the Medrash over there says an unbelievable thing. The Medrash on that pasuk says the following. The Medrash says that Kodesh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu all the different treasures that he saved for the tzaddikim. And I'll just read the Medrash to you. The Medrash tells us, I will provide favor to those that I decide to find favor, show favor to. But Kodesh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu all the treasures that were set aside for the tzaddikim after they passed away. Moshe Rabbeinu said, whose treasure is this for? People who do mitzvahs. Who's this treasure for? People who raise Yisomim. Each and every treasure, he showed them the exact types of people, the exact type of acts that those treasures are for. And then what happened was Moshe Rabbeinu came and he saw a huge treasure. So what happened to that treasure? A huge treasure. Moshe Rabbeinu said, whose treasure is this for? Who's this treasure for? Amlo mishi yeshlo ani noslo mischaro. Those who have, I give them the reward. It sounds like he's saying that all the mitzvahs that he pointed out to Moshe, that the Medrash doesn't recount each and every specific mitzvah. So the ones who have mitzvahs in their pocket, meaning they've done mitzvahs, they get certain treasures. Fine, but this special treasure, umisha ein lo ani osalo chinam, I give to them for free. V'noisin lo mizeh, I give them from this treasure. Shnemar, as it says in our pasuk. What does it mean? To those who I want to find favor for, I show mercy on them. So the language in the Medrash is very, very interesting. So the Ma'alot Bidurim brings down from the Avodas Yisrael, shot in this Medrash. What's going on in this Medrash? But Hashem says, those that don't have, I give them. It doesn't say, I give them. It says, Ani osalo, right? So the Bodhisattva Sarah wanted to say the following idea. It's a very, 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 very important point. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give to somebody who's undeserving, what does he do? He gives him an opportunity to shine, an opportunity to earn reward. Meaning, there's no, what we say about Naschinim, is not about Naschinim, it's not that Hashem says, oh, you don't do anything, let me give you Mat Naschinim. The way the Medrash is saying, and I think he's medayik in the words, Ani Oysel Ochinom, V'noysel Omizeh. What do you mean, Ani Oseh? What do? I give this person the opportunity to earn reward. Okay? And therefore, and that could come in many forms. That can come in Ben Al-Makom. And he brought down, Ramayalach brought down the idea that when a person has an opportunity to do chesed, somebody comes to your house and needs tzedakah. So it's not stam an opportunity to do chesed. Hashem is giving you the golden opportunity to earn tremendous reward. Tremendous reward. And it says in the Gemara, "Kol merachem al biris, merachem al menashamayim." If somebody doesn't have enough merit, so Hashem gives you opportunity to get merit. And Rav Meilach brings down the following Gemara: the Gemara in Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis in Brachas. The Gemara discusses a chassid. First, this person has a chassid. An erev Rosh Hashanah, a very poor chassid. An erev Rosh Hashanah gave somebody tzedakah. He gave somebody tzedakah. A guy came to his door, gave him tzedakah, and his wife, who understood the finances of the family, said, what are you doing? She yelled at him, why are you giving tzedakah? And she got upset at him. So, Rosh Hashanah night, this chassid said he couldn't sleep at home, his wife was upset at him. But he also says that in Yaakov, he couldn't sleep in shul either. In Yaakov explains, why couldn't he sleep in shul? Because if he slept in shul, people would know he has strong bias issues. So where did he sleep? He slept in the cemetery that night. And when he slept in the cemetery that night, he heard two neshamas talking. Sounds like, I think if I'm not mistaken, two female neshamas talking. And one said, let's go around the world and see what's going to be decreed for this year. And one of them turned to the other one and said, I can't join you. Don't you remember? I was buried in a mat of reeds, and I can't break out of it. I can't join you. So she went around, one of the neshamos, and she came back and she told her, what did you hear? And she heard that those that planted the first crop, which was right after Sukkot and Cheshvan, their crops will be ruined. But the ones who plant in the second crop, their crops will flourish. So this chassid decided not to plant like everybody else in the first crop, and he planted in the second crop, and he had a very successful year. So the next year, he went back to the cemetery to sleep in the cemetery on Rosh Hashanah night, and the same thing happened. The woman said, let's go, and let's go see what's doing for this year in the world. And the other woman said, what do you mean? I can't go with you. I was buried in a matter of reeds. So she said, okay, go and come back and tell me what happens. And then what happened this time? This time she came back and she said, this year, whoever plants in the first crop, their crops will flourish. And the one who plants in the second, people who plant in the second crop, they won't flourish. And obviously everybody did what they didn't do last year, except for the chassid. And the chassid had a very successful year again and became very, very wealthy. And his wife was curious, what's pshat? How did you become so wealthy? How did you become so successful? How did you know? So the husband told the wife what had happened, that he was in the cemetery 2 years in a row. And then this woman, soon afterwards, she got into a little argument with the mother of the neshama that was covered in reeds. And she said, you know, your daughter was buried in a matter of reeds. You know, why don't you fix it? And sure enough, they fixed it. And the following year, the neshamas were talking to each other, and the other neshama said, I forgot exactly the nusach. Let me look up the Gemara 1 second. I just quote the end of the Gemara. So the third year, what happened? So they said, no, come with us, come with me around the world, and we'll see what's going on for the next year. What bad things are going to happen? The words between us are already being heard by the people who are alive. Alma Yadi, so the only Inish Akhri is Shiv Azav Amalhu. That's another, right. So maybe somebody else told them. So, oh no, so somebody who's over here told them. So what's the point of the Gemara? The point of the Gemara is to tell us that the dead people hear what's going on in the world. Because when she realized that she's no longer in a matter of reeds, and somebody removed her from the matter of reeds, she realized that the people in the world are listening to what they're saying. Okay, that's how the Gemara ends. So the main point of the Gemara seems to be whether or not dead people hear what's going on in the world. And she said, and she came along, and she said, that you see the people are hearing what we're saying, and that's why that I was taking out from matter of reeds. So I'm not sure who says this. So Miles Biederman said, what was the point of the first part of the story? Why was it significant how the guy ended up there? Why was that important? The main point of the Gemara seems to be to show that the dead people hear what's going on in this world, right? That's what it's about. How did she know that somebody had told her mother that she was buried in matter of reeds? So he said the following. He said that the reason why the first part of the story was mentioned to show us that why did this chassid become successful? Because he was given an opportunity to shine. An opportunity to do what? To close his mouth. His wife yelled at him. First of all, he sees the opportunity to give tzedakah to the poor person at Rosh Hashanah. And then his wife yelled at him. And the only reason why he ended up in the cemetery that night was why? Because he didn't speak back. This is a riot to this yisod. A person who needs reward is given opportunities to shine, opportunities to earn reward. And this person, the chassid, the husband, by not responding to his wife, because of that, he was zochet to this reward. Now, the truth is, now I'm saying over the story, you see the reward was in this world. But obviously, the whole point of the Medrash is really for the next world. But it must be both. Rav Biederman says another story. He says a story about a son-in-law. Actually, it's brought down, he says, in Mishnas Yosef, in Gemara Brachos Daf Ches. And it says that the person in Mishnas Yosef, I'm not sure who it is, he doesn't usually tell stories, but he's told the following story. He said that there was somebody who was promised a tremendous dowry from his in-laws. And the in-laws gave him the dowry, which meant he had parnasa, he could sit and learn. And he spent Shabbos by his in-laws, and he walked into their house, and the beds were broken, and the candlesticks were made out of clay. So he said, he turned to his wife after Shabbos, and says, it's not right. How could it be that I'm living nicely, and your parents are not living nicely? It's not appropriate. It's not fair. And what did this person do? This person went ahead, and he, on Sunday morning, he borrowed 20,000 rubles, and he took 1,000 rubles and gave it to his in-laws, to put themselves back into a good state, to fix up their house, and fix up all the things that they lost and that were broken. And then he went, he took the rest of the money and he invested the money. And from that investment, he made a lot of money. And he was very successful. And years later, he was mechutan with, I think, Shmuel Sofer, the son of the Chasam Sofer. And one of the Rabbanim at the wedding came to this wealthy man and said, how are you zochah to such bracha? How are you zochah to such wealth? How are you zochah to such shiduchim? So he told him the story. He told him that I had an option. I saw that my in-laws had given up all their money in order to support me, but I couldn't handle it. I shined. And during that challenge, what did I do? I went ahead and I overcame my challenge. And I went into debt and I gave them money. And because of that, I was zochah to the bracha that I have today. And that's why I was mechutan to the son of the Chasam Sofer. So again, the Mishnah Yosef says over this story, he doesn't usually say over stories in his Sefer on brachos, right? But the point is that when a person has a challenge, when a person has a situation where the goal of Nimi Shur Sadin, says zochah to bracha. He also quotes the story about the Chasam Ish, that somebody was promised a tremendous dowry from his in-laws, and he found out that they couldn't do it. So he's thinking about breaking the shidduch. So the Chasam Ish told him that. It says, I should have looked this up, but I didn't look it up. Shulchan Aruch Neven Ezra tells us that if a person goes ahead and he ditches and he leaves a shidduch because they can't come through the dowry, leaving his kala unaguna, unmarried, so it's a terrible thing. But if a person goes ahead and he's moist and nefesh and he marries her, even though the in-laws can't come through the dowry, he'll be zochah to tremendous bracha. So says the Chasam Ish. So you see from here, Yesodos, when a person is met with a challenge, right, what do we say? What are we saying? And if you're moist and nefesh, you're going to be blessed with bracha. And he also says the following. He says that how come it doesn't say anything about midas? It doesn't say anything about good character traits in the Aseres Dibros. It doesn't say anything about, of course, it says kibrav aim, it says not to kill, etc. But it doesn't say anything about midos. So the Chasam Sofer used to say that you don't have to say anything about midos in the Aseres Dibros. Why? The mere fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, Anu Mikol Adam, the mere fact that Moshe, who exemplified midos, right? He exemplified midos in Miron Mechavero. The fact that he was the one who brought Luchos, that was enough of a teaching, enough of a transmission of the ikur of good midos. And that's what we see from these stories. That's what we see. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us opportunities to earn our reward in this world and the next world. I'll give you an example. Last night I was in the parking lot after shopping, and I noticed that the car next to me, right, that he walked to his car with his groceries. He did not use a shopping cart, and on his way out, he banged into a shopping cart that was obviously whoever left it there wasn't menschlich. The person went shopping. He left the shopping cart there, and this person banged into it. So what did this person do? He got out of his car, and he took the shopping cart and put it back with the other shopping carts. I was like, wow, what a compassionate person. What a person. This person, first of all, he should have been upset that his car got banged by somebody who was very negligent and not respectful and not menschlich and left the car there. But this person is mamish compassionate. Why? Because instead of having, first of all, somebody else can bang into the shopping cart, number one. Number two, one of the workers from the store is going to have to go and have to come to the parking lot and take the shopping cart and put it back to where it belongs. That's a mice of compassion. Who knows if that person's challenge, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, he doesn't have enough merits, let me give him opportunities to do merit. And when you think about it, we oftentimes have this opportunity to go ahead and shine. Whether it's been on the chavero, in terms of somebody needs help, and you're like, you're too busy, this and that. No, maybe that Hashem is giving you the opportunity to earn special reward. Makom as well. You're learning, you're davening. This, if we live life like this medrash, the way the Avos Yisrael explains it, Avodah Yisrael learns it. That if we're not zocher to certain things, certain brachas, we're going to be given opportunities. Now, that's what it means. Ani ois l'chinam. I'm going to give him a free opportunity to earn it. If a person goes through life thinking like that, that any opportunity you have to do a great thing, is given to you as a golden opportunity to earn reward in this world or the next world. If you live with that mahalak in life, you'll continue to be zoicha to siyata d'shmaya and bracha v'atzlocha and Hashem yimal kol m'shas l'vchum v'tova and b'rit Shabbos.